the Super Bowl is over. And now it's that special time of year. A time when you can turn on the tube and catch early season golf and absolutely meaningless regular season National Hockey League, NBA, early NASCAR, and drumroll, the X Games. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and I must say I'm thrilled to enter the annual 60-day deep winter doldrums for sports fans and pop culture fans alike. And not so much. But today on Central Standard, we've got the Anecdote, a post-game show where we recap the Super Bowl commercials. Joining us in the studio, advertising specialists, helping us take a look back at what the E-Trade baby, Budweiser, Doritos, Volkswagen, and all the usual suspects served up on Super Bowl Sunday. We're curious to hear your favorites. Good morning, Kansas City. Normally, we turn down the television when commercials come on and can't wait for our regularly scheduled programming. But as we all know, on Super Sunday, it's often the other way around, especially when your team isn't even in the game. Many would argue that the game hasn't been the main point since 1984, when Apple Computer introduced the Macintosh via the Ridley Scott Helm treatment of George Orwell's classic novel 1984. But this year, polar bears, dogs, naked candy, and Jerry Seinfeld took the stage. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. You can get your Giants, Patriots, post-game punditry over on Sports Talk Radio. We're here to recap some of the more popular Super Bowl commercials we saw yesterday, last night, and talk about what spots made the grade, what spots fell short. We also further explore what advertising means in the age of new media and viral video. Joining us in the studio today is J. Anthony Snodgrass, PhD, Associate Professor of Communications, Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. He's known as Dr. J. That ought to be interesting. Chris Ribschlager, Senior Art Director at VML and the creator of the infamous Where to Find Boulevard Chocolate Ale. Still hard to find. It's still a hot ticket here in Kansas City. And Pete Meyer, he's a writer and director and editor at T2 Films. Welcome to Central Standard, one and all.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Professor Snodgrass, Dr. Dre, you have a long, long title. So tell us a little bit about your background, what you do over at Avila University, and what you were doing on Super Sunday.
Well, they say oftentimes you get a long title when you don't get a lot of pay. Now, I'm not saying anything. However, right. I am on the faculty in the School of Visual and Communication Arts. I teach advertising, branding, and strategic media at Avila University. We welcome everybody to come by from time to time. My past has been actually in the advertising business. I worked with Mueller & Company when they were located on the plaza a few years back before joining the faculty. So I've been involved in advertising both from the client side as well as from the agency side.
So were you an accounts man or a creative man?
Well, I like to visualize myself as being actually both, because as an accounts man, yes, I had certain responsibilities, but you actually drive the creative process and handle the client relationship as well. So it was very, very important that that be taken care of satisfactorily and that the creative ideas actually had a platform to take hold.
Chris Ribschlager, you sound like a guy who knows beer. So you did your own super sooty event with Chocolate Ale. Bring us up to speed on what was up with the Chocolate Ale conspiracy.
So it was kind of a take on those. Well, there's a lot of buzz about Chocolate Ale, and everyone wanted it. Everyone wanted to know where to get it. So I thought I would make a website where you could locate it. But the trick was it wasn't helpful at all. It was just funny jokes about where you could find it, like in the laughter of children.
You're really kind of messing with people's heads, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just having a bit of fun with something that was popular at the time.
And what did this have to do with the Pitch's Secret Ninja Training Facility?
The Pitch's Secret Ninja Training Facility. Basically, I just wanted to make some jokes about some places in town where it could be. I think I also had one about there was some chocolate ale in the Fight Club basement under KCUR's studio.
And Tony Bateo's mom's basement as
and
well.
And Tony Bateo's mom's basement. Yeah, there was at least 5 bottles there. Yeah.
So we got some creative, zany folks in the house. Pete Meyer, what makes a good ad from a writer, director, and editing standpoint? Scribing, helming, and chopping. What do you want to achieve in a Super Bowl ad?
Well, I think I think, you know, the three different areas you described are all kind of everyone. A writer may have a different perspective than a director, and an editor may have a different perspective. It's usually a collaborative process between all those three. And usually when I work on ads, I'm either just editing or just directing or occasionally just writing.
But as a hyphenate, you've been on all sides.
I have been on all sides, and occasionally I will do all three at once. But usually from a writer or from a director-editor standpoint, you're working with an agency and just through the collaborative process trying to find the best possible ad. And it's usually a collaborative thing where many different people are working to get the best end result.
So when you're writing, what's your goal?
My goal is to really my primary goal is to influence buying behavior. You know, if I were, for instance, doing a beer commercial, I would just try to sell beer. And I think a lot of these consumer-generated ads that we saw on the Super Bowl, I'm not sure that that's been their underlying concern. I think they just try to create the most entertaining spot. But I think advertising at its core tries to influence buying behavior.
And then when you're chopping the film up,
mm-hmm.
when you're chopping the scenes up, what do you want to pack in? What do you want to convey?
Well, I think for one, you want to. It's really all about pacing. You want to create the right tone, something that feels good and smooth. And if it's a humor spot, really to find the right beats and you know that it's humorous. You're maximizing the right amount of humor. So it really depends. I mean, if you're doing a bigger anthem spot or whatever, you're trying to generate the most emotion possible to surround whatever product you're selling.
So the editing process informs that as well as the directorial undertakings.
Oh, absolutely.
Professor, remind us, what's the goal when a company spends millions of dollars for 30 seconds to a minute? What's a company really trying to achieve?
Actually, the goal is to engage with an audience. Build a clientele, build a community of support. You even begin to look at trying to sustain some loyalty to a product line or a company or an organization. So the ultimate objective is to deliver a message that actually provides the platform for that. That can be done creatively. That can be done through your copywriting process. That can even be done through your media placement because of that philosophical guy that said the message is the media, Marshall McLuhan. So it's very important oftentimes to actually look at the foundation for how is that message being delivered and which medium is being used to deliver it.
Marshall McLuhan is a very philosophical guy.
That's why.
Indeed. And speaking of philosophical guys, we have three of them today live on Central Standard. Let's go back to what everybody was doing on Super Sunday. Let's start with Krish Rifschlag. You had your laptop open.
Oh, this is the nerdiest Super Bowl story ever. But I was sitting on my couch with my dogs and my laptop out, and I was watching the Twitter feed. I follow a lot of ad people and a lot of comedians, and watching what they were saying about the Super Bowl was being like in this really hilarious virtual Super Bowl party. So it might have looked pathetic if you're looking into my living room, but it was a lot of fun.
What seemed to be trending on your feed?
You know, a lot of people were unimpressed with the ads. Every ad that came on, basically someone had something negative to say about it. We're like, oh, that was stupid, or that was lame, or just nothing was really hitting for the people I was following.
Pete Meyer, was it fun to drink Haterade for your tweeters as well?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you'd be surprised. I was doing very similar things to Chris, watching Twitter feeds and some national Adweek had a live blog going on. I was reading as it went, you know, just reading Twitter feeds as the ads went on. And there was, you'd be surprised at how much of a lack of consensus there was behind ads. But yes, everybody would have something negative to say about almost every ad. But also, it's surprising you get together, you know, top advertising people, whether it's local or nationally, and there's just a huge lack of consensus of what made good ads.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. We're recapping the Super Bowl ads with J. Anthony Snodgrass. He's a doctor of the J., associate professor of communications, advertising, branding, and strategic media at Avila University. Krish Rifschlager, beer master, senior art director at VML, and creator of the infamous where to find Boulevard Chocolate Ale. I think he's still got some people out there looking for it as we speak. Pete Meyer, three times dope as a hyphenate, writer, director, editor at T2 Films. Kansas City, what's your favorite Super Bowl commercial and why? What did it convey to you, and why do you get a kick out of it, and do you hate it? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Also hit us up on Facebook, and Twitter is also an option as well. We know you listen with your laptop, so go ahead and hit us up there. Let's get into everybody's favorites, beginning with Dr. J. Thumbs up and thumbs down.
Well, I've already actually logged my favorites. I logged them about midnight last night. And my overall favorite, even though I did have a competition by categories, the overall favorite was the Doritos, a dog holding the owner hostage. He had
for
the secret
Doritos.
For the Doritos. I really liked that. I thought it resonated with the audience. It resonated with me, obviously. And I thought it was appropriate for the Super Bowl.
Did that get the message across?
Absolutely.
In what way?
In what way? It actually suggested that Doritos is actually a currency. It's more than just a consumable food. It's a currency now. You will do things for Doritos. You'll keep your mouth shut for Doritos.
And which spot, Dr. J, qualified for the toilet bowl?
Unfortunately, I think the toilet bowl goes to Coca-Cola and the Bears.
Wow. Yeah.
I think it was a little slow, a little dated, and they tried to reach back and pull something forward, and I think they missed the opportunity.
They did. What about you, Mr. Ribschlager?
The one that I really liked the most, the one that stuck my mind, was Bud Light's WeGo spot with a cute rescue dog named WeGo. I know that the dog fetching a beer gag has been done to death, but this one had the hook where he was a rescue dog. And also the spot wrapped up where if you go on Facebook and like Bud Light, $1 goes to a pet rescue charity. So kind of gives you a little warm fuzzy about Bud Light. And also it was funny. It was fun to watch. And I'm a sucker for an ad with a cute dog.
So dogs are winning the race for Super
dogs
Bowl
and babies.
Ad supremacy.
Dogs and
right
babies
now
are huge.
What makes the toilet bowl for you? What are you flushing down?
Without a doubt, the one that I just found offensive on so many levels was GoDaddy.
Okay.
GoDaddy was just...
Break that down.
Well, okay, there's two different ways that this offended me. It doesn't take a radical feminist to think that this is really offensive to women. And also, it's just offensive creatively because it's lazy writing. Anyone can put a woman in a spot, take her clothes off, and get attention.
Can anybody do that?
Well, not just anybody. Not just anybody, but... But yeah, it seemed really lazy. That's something they've been doing forever. And a lot of people that I follow on Twitter and people I talk to online are seriously thinking about taking their domains away from GoDaddy, not just because of this, but it just kind of exemplifies this pattern of just bizarre behavior from GoDaddy. And people just don't want to be associated with
it. So that's a no-go daddy.
That's a no-go daddy.
That's a no-go daddy. Why are dogs and babies so huge, Peter Meyer?
I think people, want to see cute things, and they want to see a good story that surprises them, and dogs and babies usually are able to do that. Although my favorite ad of the year was the Chevy Mayan Apocalypse. I just thought that the end of the world, and it was nice to have they were focusing on one feature, which is the dependability of the Chevy truck. Versus the Ford, it was a little negative advertising. So,
and automobiles are always huge. In addition to dogs and babies, why do automobiles dominate, in your estimation, Peter Meyer?
Well, I think automobiles, they spend a lot of money on advertising for automobiles, and so I think they want the big forum of the Super Bowl, and so for one, they have bigger marketing budgets, and they usually try to roll those all out. It coincides often with these auto shows. There's new models coming out, so people want to see what the new models are. And
we're recapping the Super Bowl ads with a panel of distinguished guests here. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Tell us what your favorite Super Bowl ad is. Let's check out the Chevrolet Apocalypse.
Where's Dave?
Dave didn't drive the longest-lasting, most dependable truck on the road.
they drove before it.
Twinkie?
Yeah.
Looks like we made
Chevy Silverado.
In that ad, there's a guy and his dog driving around a destroyed city, looking at the burning wreckage, the crashed spaceships, Godzilla, alien spacecraft, and then he pulls into what we assume is the world ending at a meeting spot with his buddies, and one of the buddies says, another buddy didn't make it because he drove a Ford.
Right.
How did that message come across, Dr. Well, Snodgrass?
It reminded me of War of the Worlds, the movie. I like the Twinkies at the end.
That's
what really came across to me. Was
that sort of a subtle salute to a company that's having hard times, falling on hard times, and then perhaps in the end of the world, they make a resurgence?
That's right. They'll still be there. So in terms of resonance, yes, I think it was one of the few times that you have a company calling out their competition. So normally there's been a certain courtesy in the advertising business where Coke won't – well, they did call out Pepsi, but – in this case, Chevy wouldn't call out Ford, but I think they did that, and it was pretty strong.
If you have a Ford, you're going to die. That's pretty strong.
That's
pretty strong. Another car ad that got mixed reviews was Matthew Broderick,
right,
at age 67, playing Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that? You're shaking your head, Dr. J.
I think it was a lost opportunity. I think, number one, if you run from a Ferrari throughout your life, work hard, and you wind up, Honda, with a Honda, that's a pretty tough ordeal on the value of life.
Peter, what do you think of Ferris Bueller?
I thought it fell kind of flat. It just didn't seem that much fun. I mean, growing up, seeing Ferris Bueller's Day Off, it's a great movie. It didn't look like Broderick was having that much fun making the commercial, which I think showed. And
it did look very, very phoned in.
Mm-hmm.
It did look very phoned in. We got Justin in KC. What's your favorite commercial? Welcome to Central Standard, Justin. We don't have Justin, so we're going to go to our other automobile commercial, the Camaro commercial. And in this one, parents take their son outside to give him a gift. They unwrap a mini fridge, but he spots something else. Let's check it out.
A blindfold, Mom, really?
Happy graduation, sweetie.
I can't believe you got me this car!
Should we tell him?
No, let him power out first. Not yet. He's losing steam.
Marry me right now!
I'm marrying you right now!
I'm getting married!
Best day of my life!
Hey, Steve. Love a car.
Camaro. Another reason why Chevy runs deep.
Hey! Mr. Johnson just stole my car!
So this kid thinks he got a yellow Camaro. He didn't, but good placement for the yellow Camaro, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it put the product in this – it's the object of desire. He's so excited about it, so you can't help but get a little excited about it.
And this was kind of a fan favorite too, Peter.
Yeah, I thought it was a good ad. It, I was reading on Twitter, someone had said it was a nice touch that his voice was totally spent at the end. You know, you could hear him just screaming so much that the main character, you could it was hoarse by the end. It was well executed. It was a good ad.
816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We want to know what your favorite Super Bowl ads were, or what your not so favorite Super Bowl ads were. Kansas City, call in or write in on Facebook. Our Twitter handle is at KCURCST. Kim in KC, welcome to Central Standard. We don't have Kim either.
Oh, hi.
We do. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. So tell us
my
about your
ad.
Go ahead.
Was the one at the end. The one that showed the kids playing basketball on the roof and taking the go-kart up to the top of the hill. I think it was for CNN Sports or something.
A house ad for NBC Sports.
I don't know. Well, it was just showing how the kids – how they're going to be, you know, like future swimmers, future soccer, future basketball. It was just showing kids from all over the world, you know, in sports.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts on that. Kids all over the world in sports, hard to hate on that, right, fellas?
It kind of reminded me of a Procter & Gamble spot where it was showing kids at the Olympics, and it was like kids in all these real Olympic events. And I think the message was they'll always be our kids or something like that. So putting kids in the role of adults is kind of an ad theme.
We have a response from Cheryl with the hammering of the GoDaddy.com commercials, she says, and I quote, "And a naked David Beckham is better."
No, I don't think. I think that was equally as lazy. I mean, it was equal opportunity, but it was also equally lazy.
But he did have some copywriting on his body, you know, the tattoo.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
So he gets the edge
because of
that.
Little art direction with the, yeah.
Little art direction.
I'm not giving him the edge, but he did have some copy.
Right. Don't give him the edge. Peter, what approach will almost always fall flat? You're a writer, editor, and director. What approach will almost always fall flat on the big screen?
Well, I think, you know, not to go back and hammer on GoDaddy, but the kind of lazy copywriting that GoDaddy has been doing for years. And, I mean, they basically have been running the same type of ad for the last 5 years or something. And it's usually, you know, it's just the theme is just objectifying, you know, a woman at the end of the ad. And I don't know how Danica Patrick has agreed to, you know, hook up and, you know, lend her name to that, because I think she's probably got the worst sports agent in sports manager in the country. But you know, it's surprising that that she's done that. But that almost always falls flat.
But they were not alone. I mean, you had Toyota, Beckham, GoDaddy mm-hmm. had two, Kia Dream Car, mm-hmm. Teleflora, and even Fiat used that same strategy. They borrowed the old GoDaddy approach.
You know, you brought up Kia, and they did kind of execute on that, but they also kind of redeemed it at the end where he drove into his wife's dream, and then right. he and his wife drive off. And
good redemption.
Yeah, good save. good save at the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Fiat was actually trying to come back and rebrand. Fiat has been reorganizing itself as an auto company for a couple of years now. They fell flat on that comeback?
I think they fell flat because they used a technique that had been sort of overused in the industry. They tried to use sex as the appeal to buy a car. And I'm not sure that that worked for them.
We got Russ and KC. Mo, Russ, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, respectfully, I disagree, because they Fiat did it in a different way. They're the commercial over which I called, which they might have, you know, cars have tried to have sex appeal for a very long time, but they anthropomorphose a Fiat in a way that is a little different from everybody else. In the first place, most of the commercial was in Italian, and though it's, I don't necessarily understand you, but I like you. It was kind of like the old song, A Word in Spanish. I rather liked that commercial. I also had one other comment, by the way. While Dave might not have driven the longest-lasting, most dependable truck on the road, he drove the safest. So he may have a hood up someplace, but he made it.
The guy in the Ford made it, huh, Russ?
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Under a spaceship, but he's waiting to be dug out.
Thank you very much for joining the conversation. Russ, Barbara writes, her three favorite ads were the cheetah in the cage that they let out of the race car, and he decides to chase the guy who let him out of the cage, the overweight dog in the Volkswagen commercial, and the career builder guy working with a bunch of chips. It is really all about the animals at the end of the day, Mr.
Ripschlager.
And why is that?
Well, VW had a lot of work to do because they kind of won last year's Super Bowl with their Darth Vader kids. So I think they kind of wanted to stay in that same vein. And, I mean, you can always win with dogs. And they had this great teaser with the bark side, barking the Star Wars theme. So they stayed in the Star Wars world, kept it cute. And like I said, you always can win with dogs.
Well, speaking of cute animals and winning with dogs, in this clip, a late entry into a greyhound dog race is Mr. Quigley, a bulldog wearing bright red sneakers. In the last moment, he backwards moonwalks across the finish line. Before we go into that, why is the name Mr. Quigley so funny to you?
Because it has a Q and ends with a Lee. I think anything with that combination of cuteness, yeah.
Ad copywriters everywhere. You start with Q, you end with Lee, you got a winner. Let's check it out.
And there's the favorite Silver Prince.
And we have a late entry named Mr. Quigley.
Is he wearing running shoes?
It is legal, I believe. And they're off. It's Queen's Hurricane out front. Silver Prince on his heels. But wait, Mr. Quigley is coming around the outside. Look at that little guy go. It's going to be Quigley. What?
Let's do it.
He's walking across the finish line.
The new midfoot strike sketchers.
When you add moonwalking, when you add Wild Thing by Tone Loc, mm-hmm. and when you add British announcer accents, those are the ingredients to a winner. Do you agree, fellas?
I don't know. There's usually kind of it's an underdog story. Sorry for the pun, but putting the product in a place where it takes this ordinary dog, not a greyhound, and makes him extraordinarily great at running. It's kind of been done. It was well executed, though.
Underdog, because we've got Jay Anthony Snorgrass, a social professor of communication, advertising, branding, and strategic media at Avila University. We've got Chris Ribschlager, senior art director at VML and creator of the infamous Where to Find Boulevard Chocolate Ale, and Peter Meyer. He's a writer, director, editor at T2 Films. Kansas City, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial and why? What did it convey to you, and why do you get a kick out of it? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. We're going to take a break right now at this moment, and we will be back after these messages with more messages about messages. We'll see you soon. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. If you're still listening, and if you are listening closely, and you are a Star Wars Saga fan, and you like dogs, you'll recognize that commercial from the Super Bowl of dogs barking in melody to John Williams' Empire Strikes Back theme, part of a Dog Strikes Back ad campaign by Volkswagen. We're recapping the Super Bowl ads with Jay Anthony Snorgrass. He's Associate Professor of Communications and Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University. Chris Ribschlager, he's a Senior Art Director at VML, and the recent creator of the Where to Find Boulevard Chocolate Ale campaign, very successful local campaign. Peter Myers, writer, director, and editor at T2 Films, and we're recapping the ads. Kansas City, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial and why? What did it convey to you? Why did you get a kick out of it? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Max writes in. He says he's wondering if you guys could touch upon the Will Ferrell Old Milwaukee ad that only ran in Nebraska. This is an urban legend. Local ads that only run in Nebraska for Old Milwaukee beer. How does that happen?
Well, really familiar, but I.
When does that happen?
I've seen some of the Will Ferrell Old Milwaukee campaign, which has been rolling out locally. They did some in Davenport, and oftentimes. The local markets get a certain block of times to buy for the Super Bowl, so they must have run something in Nebraska. And those ads are hilarious. They're great. I haven't seen the one geared toward Nebraska, but I've seen the one for Davenport, Iowa. And I'm sure they were great, but they probably didn't want to spend the $3.5 million for a 30-second spot.
Let's talk about that niche a little bit quickly, Professor Snorgrass. Local ads that run during the Super Bowl where they get in with the local media buyers, the local players, and make a local point on a big stage.
Excellent strategy. Those opportunities do exist. We had several local companies here from our area who actually advertised. You normally will see them towards the end of commercial break or commercial pod. There'll be several. I think, not to mention brand names, but there's a certain barbecue operation that had several commercials that they actually ran throughout the local sessions. There were several others. In fact, Kaufman had a very good ad that they ran as a local spot, not as a national spot.
And speaking of local spots, Chris Ribschlager, if you could put Boulevard Brew, a local staple, into the Super Bowl mix on a national stage, what does your campaign look like? You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds starting now?
Starting now.
All right. Here's my idea. Boulevard has such an amazing story. Their history about when John McDonald, that's his name, right, sold his first keg to Ponax. I would use that spot to tell that story and also get in some beauty shots of Kansas City and make it a real feel great about Boulevard and Kansas City and the Midwest type of spot.
Would you bring in a voiceover?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
Some type
maybe
of...
John himself.
John
if
himself.
If you're listening, give me a call and we'll make this happen.
Would you have him walking around in a polo shirt standing under some barrels or something like that?
No polo shirts. I think probably a denim jacket, very rustic, very rugged. Yeah.
a denim jacket. Very rustic.
Maybe leather. We'll talk about it. We'll figure out the details.
In this focus group, what is your assessment of this concept, Professor Snorgrass, first? And
oh, I get
Peter
to be
Meyer.
The critic first. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're up first.
I see where we're going.
You're up first.
That. Well, I like the idea of using Boulevard and the name because it's pretty branded, and Kansas City is well known for its beautiful boulevards. In fact, that used to be the showcase, along with fountains, for Kansas City. So I do see the incorporation of those visuals along with a very, very strong voiceover that actually represents Kansas City. Now, I pointed at you because I was thinking you have a good voice for that. So we put you in that ad as well. Can we hire him?
I'll make some calls. We'll see if we can make this happen.
I work for Chocolate Ale, not to drink, but to redistribute on the black market, chocolate market.
All right. We're going to make this happen. It's
right.
Going to be an ad.
Right.
He didn't put any kids in this ad, though, so I was a little concerned since he's been really pushing the kids this morning.
Kids and beer ads? I think that's probably a touchy subject.
It is indeed.
Boulevard. Beer you can find on the boulevard.
That's the spot. That's
Bam.
Let's just take that. Let's take
Bam.
That. That's the spot.
Bam.
Right there.
Peter Meyer, what'd you think of his concept?
I actually think it'd be a great spot. I think Boulevard's one of the great success stories in Kansas City, and to actually tell that story in a 30-second ad, I think would be good.
Would you play it differently?
No, I don't know about the denim jacket, but I would. I think telling that story from the very beginnings, I think, would be successful.
I think maybe you have a TV with Clydesdales on it, right? And then some guy in a Kansas City Chiefs jersey or sweatshirt. They're obviously not in the Super Bowl. But he's holding a Boulevard, and he keeps interrupting all the commercials to talk about the Chiefs and or Boulevard.
That's good.
That would work.
There's a brewery in Colorado, Breckenridge Brewery, that has released these online ads that are basically the antithesis of beer ads.
Right.
So they're making fun of like beer bottles that turn blue when they're cold and stuff like that. You'll just like touch the bottle and say, it's cold.
Speaking of which, Budweiser Platinum, guys.
Oh,
what's up with that?
First of all, I think somebody already owns the Platinum brand. I think it's a certain vodka that's been advertising that sort of owns the Platinum. So why come right behind them?
It's trying to make Bud Light sophisticated.
Is beer supposed to be platinum?
It's not supposed to be in a blue bottle, first of all. That's a bad call.
What's false flat about that, literally, flat?
Well, for one, I mean, it felt just very artificial, and I think they tried to create this kind of clean, especially the second spot, which actually showed this party, like a party of hip people. It just felt it felt very strange and, a weird way to introduce a brand. And I'm not really sure why we need Platinum Bud Light.
Right. Very forced, very contrived, and we might not need Platinum Bud Light. The Super Bowl is also a time to get out more serious messages. Some people want to tug the heartstrings a little bit. Some people don't want to make you laugh. Some ad agencies choose to go deeper or try to go deeper. We saw that with Clint Eastwood, for instance. Ron from Freeman wants to know what you think of the Clint Eastwood Chrysler commercial. He says it's interesting because Chrysler is now mostly owned by a European company, Daimler Chrysler. So he had that to say. Al also writes in to talk about the Clint Eastwood Chrysler ad. The use of a Detroit, Michigan comeback touched me deeply. I saw that Detroit at its prime, and then I watched it decline. I do hope it can fight its way back. It can never be the same, but I hope it comes back somewhat. Clint was perfect in his delivery. Let's get a post game on this ad. What do you think?
I think it was a great ad. It was a great narrative. It told a story of Detroit, the comeback of the auto industry. I don't think the placement benefited the ad very well. I think it would have played much better earlier in the program, close to the right after or right before the national anthem. Then it gets that real patriot kind of feel to it.
Right. Giant feel as well. What do you think about the Clint Eastwood?
You know, Clint Eastwood could read the phone book, and I would think it was just awesome. So, I mean, it's hard to cast him in a spot that's not going to be great. And, I mean, the messaging was right on. It just felt really kind of political, especially in an election year. It just seemed like a political ad for Clint Eastwood's 2012 campaign.
Peter Meyer, how does this play as a follow-up to last year's very energetic Eminem Detroit comeback, driving through the streets in the black Chrysler, energy-driven This is more somber.
I thought it played as a nice sequel. It actually had a very similar tone. It actually seemed to work well from year to year. I mean, it did feel very much like a sequel. I think it felt a little even heavier than the M&M ad. And I agree that it felt more like a political ad than ad for the Chrysler. But I actually thought it was really strong, definitely one of the top five.
We're going to go to a clip here in a couple moments, but I'd like to ask you, is Detroit in the auto industry kind of like a baby or a puppy in the sense that it strikes an instant emotional American reaction?
Well, it speaks to a comeback story, and everyone likes a good comeback story. So that speaking to this is our halftime, this is our pep talk, let's go out there and go get them. That's kind of the message.
Go get them.
Go get them.
Well, without further ado, in this commercial, Clint Eastwood talks about halftime in America for a Chrysler ad that aired during the Super Bowl. Let's check it out right now.
It's halftime. Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again. I've seen a lot of tough eras, a lot of downturns in my life, times when we didn't understand each other. It seems that we've lost our heart at times. The fog of division, discord, and blame made it hard to see what lies ahead. But after those trials, we all rallied around what was right and acted as one. Because that's what we do. We find a way through tough times, and if we can't find a way, then we'll make one. All that matters now is what's ahead. How do we come from behind? How do we come together? And how do we win? Detroit's showing us it can be done. And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, it's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
That was Clint Eastwood's Chrysler ad. Very somber, very inspirational. Does it do too much in a game where people are trying to forget about what's going on in America?
They left us in that somber mood, and he had what this is a close to a 2-minute ad. It's either a minute 30 or 2 minutes. Plenty of opportunity to state the case and then build us up. I still think it needed Eminem at the end to pick it up and lift us higher and say, let's go play some ball.
Yeah, maybe he comes in and starts rapping at the end.
Yeah. So he left us sort of down.
And then Clint goes, I don't like rap.
Sniffling punk.
Yeah, that's right.
But it did strike a chord with John, who writes in about this ad too, saying, and I quote, this is personally my favorite and memorable ad, even though it probably didn't help me convince me to go out and buy a Chrysler. It doesn't make you want to necessarily go out and buy a Chrysler. It makes you want to maybe put Gran Torino or Dirty Harry in the DVD, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think it does make you feel better about the Chrysler brand and the Detroit story. So in a sense, it's selling just American cars as much as it's selling Chrysler specifically. But it is very uplifting. It was interesting just now to hear it as a radio spot, and I actually liked it better.
Right. It does work better as a radio spot. I like radio.
I like radio
just a little bit. We're on Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are J. Anthony Snorgrass, Associate Professor of Communications, Advertising, Branding, Strategic Media, Kitchen Sinks, Beer, Cars. He's over at Avila University. He wears vests and ties. He's ready to go. He's Dr. J is his handle. Chris Rifschlager, Senior Art Director at VML and creator of the infamous Where to Find Boulevard Chocolate Ale ads, has some interesting ideas for Boulevard ads for the Super Bowl. Maybe go for that next year. Peter Meyer, writer, director, and editor at T2 Films. We are recapping the Super Bowl commercials. Bruce in Blue Springs, welcome to Central Standard's Super Bowl recap.
Morning.
Morning.
I have an observation and a question. This year and recent years, it seems like the amateurs have been doing really, really well with the Doritos ads. And I was wondering if both the dog and the Doritos and the little baby and the grandmother in the Doritos ad were both amateurs.
This is a good point to bring up that Bruce brings up. Amateurs are starting to get in on the mix because of viral video and user-generated content. How is that playing in our fantabulous Super Bowl ad atmosphere? We'll start with Chris.
You know, a lot of making ads can be really political. There's a lot of people involved, a lot of opinions, and an idea that might start out really amazing just gets kind of, you know, ruined by a committee. I think what you gain when you have these user-generated spots is kind of a fearlessness and a kind of adventurousness where you can do anything because I'm just trying to win a contest by making an amazing ad. So that makes for some amazing work.
Doritos had hosted an online contest. So, Peter Meyer, talk about how hosting these online contests, inviting users to get involved, adds to the conversation.
Well, for one, it's... It ends up being a commercial for itself. I mean, you get enough people involved making ads, they become invested in the brand. I also think the fact that people vote on, you know, that it hundreds and hundreds of submissions, they vote one to the top. It's already kind of been vetted, so it's almost like it's focus grouped already. So that's one reason why those things kind of score highly. Because of the amateurishness of them, I wonder how much they actually influence buying behavior. As opposed to things that have been through advertising agencies. But there's, you know, those user-generated ads have been getting better every year.
I think a couple of things we should recognize. Number one, user-generated doesn't necessarily mean amateurs.
Right.
These guys are professionals. They have done a great job. They've done their research. They may have presented a product in an amateurish way on purpose. And secondly, crowdsourcing is a wonderful way to actually cut your production costs because you've got other folks doing it for you and you just pick the one you want to run, which is a huge component of the advertising industry. We've got to pay to get on, but we also have to pay to produce them, which is significant.
And by the way, the Sling Baby commercial and Man's Best Friend Dog commercial and You Didn't See Nothing commercials were all finalists of the Doritos contest. So that is a very striking example of how Doritos, Frito-Lay extension got users and potential Dorito eaters and focus group people involved in the total conversation. Talk about, Chris, how the commercial becomes a commercial in and of itself. How the ad creates more buzz for free coverage of the product.
Something really interesting that's been happening in recent years is there's teasers and like online buzz about all these ads before game day. So actually, in this particular year, you could watch almost every ad that was in the game, usually in longer form, online before the game. So they're kind of capitalizing on not just the buzz of the day, but leading up to and then coming away from. So you're going to hear a lot of stuff in coming days about which ones were the best, and we'll be sure to see a lot of them like rerunning on air.
And that is a pro and con. For instance, the Ferris Bueller one is an example that was teased and teased and teased and teased and previewed, and it dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Really. So talk about the pros and cons of that, Peter Meyer.
Well, I mean, I think one of the biggest pros is the fact that there was so much media coverage about the commercial that news outlets were running the commercial over and over, and that's all free media as opposed to the paid media. So they're getting, a lot of extra views that they wouldn't have normally. And one of the main cons is that it does tend to fall flat when you see it. I think when these things have been teased endlessly, there's no surprise, as opposed to in the past years when you'd watch a Super Bowl ad, it was the first time you'd see it and you're just kind of waiting for the big moment.
Well, in this clip that we're about to play right now, Matthew Broderick pulls a Ferris Bueller for the first time in 20 years. And our panelists here on Central Standard think this is one episode and one instance where Ferris Bueller probably should have took another day off. But let's hear it anyway.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
No.
People are depending
Movies bring so much joy.
Stop. It's done. Just get some rest.
Diva. He bought it. How can I handle work on a day like today? One of the worst performances of my career, and he never doubted it for a second. Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please? I've got a lot to do today.
Roderick.
Wow. That was a clip of the mercifully shortened Ferris Bueller's Day Off Honda CRV commercial that our distinguished panelists, J. Anthony Snorgrass, Chris Ribschlager, and Pete Meyer, all in the ad game in some form or another, agree fell flat. And let's recap why it fell flat.
But it was not alone in falling flat. I think Mr. Seinfeld's ad fell quite flat
along
with him.
You think Mr. Seinfeld, do you guys concur?
I kind of like that one. Okay. There was some funny buzz about that after it aired. It was kind of funny that Jay Leno sweeps in at the end and takes something that wasn't his, kind of reflecting the whole Conan, the show debacle. So, yeah, I thought it was funny. I like Seinfeld.
Peter Meyer, do you concur with Mr. Ripschlager?
Yes, I actually like that a lot, too. And I think there was a lot of ads that were specifically marketed, kind of looking back on the 90s and 80s, a lot of 80s music used and 90s stars like Seinfeld. And I actually enjoyed it.
Well, as a minority, lone minority here, I'll give you a chance to state your case in this Seinfeld falling flat.
Well, thank you. Number one, I'm not only the lone minority on the panel, I might probably also have the most gray hair on the panel. So I probably saw all of the episodes. So it was like old rehashed stuff to me. There was nothing that really fit other than the Leno at the end that actually attracted me. So from that standpoint, the Seinfeld did not work for me. Now, none of my students at Avila University mentioned the Seinfeld commercial either as being among their best. So I thought it was somewhat generational.
And that's an interesting thing because Ferris Bueller and Seinfeld aren't going to necessarily resonate with that coveted 18 to 35 demographic that our advertisers and our copywriters and our brand executives tend to go after.
Right. But that whole nostalgia angle is pretty powerful. And I think you saw that with the MetLife spot that basically unloaded every cartoon character that I experienced growing up, crammed them into one spot and said, hey, remember this? Associate that good feeling with MetLife now. Please.
Buy some insurance.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Well, let's hear the Seinfeld ad spot and get a reaction from our listeners. We have to.
Okay.
What's the deal with the spot? Let's go.
I want it. I would love to have the first one.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Seinfeld, but you're number two on the list.
Who's number one?
That guy.
Okay. So, you're number one.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be number 20?
I'll throw in the soup nuts.
Soup for you.
I own all the characters.
Last living munchkin.
I thought he passed away.
I found another one. Dancing holographic monkey?
I have one.
I'll make small talk with the omelet guy for you. You ever take an egg home with you? Is your head that shape underneath the hat? You ever feel bad about coming out of the toilet and then coming right back to work here? Nobody knows it. You do. For the record, I don't think I like you quite as much as I did at the beginning.
I'm listening.
Access to my personal network of Manhattan zip lines.
Wow. Impressive.
You've got the first Acura NSX.
How about a jetpack flying squirrel suit? New York to L.A., 20 minutes. Sergeant.
We're recapping the Super Bowl ads here on Central Standard. In that particular clip, Jerry Seinfeld wants to buy the first Acura NSX and offers the guy in first place to buy it all types of incentives that you heard. And in that last moment, he loses out to Jay Leno. This one was pre-release, right, Peter?
It was, yeah.
And what was the early reaction to it?
I don't know if I saw any reaction on the ad blogs at the time, but I think people it was pretty mixed reviews when it was airing on Twitter. I do think that, yes, as someone was saying, it doesn't really people 18 to 34 may not really get the Seinfeld thing, but really they're not really in the but they're not the people that would necessarily be buying an Acura.
Acura NSX, exactly.
Exactly. So it's really marketed more toward a Generation X thing.
They'd be buying Hondas.
They'd be buying Hondas with Ferris Bueller. Richard is curious about the trend of combined ads, specifically the GE Turbines and Budweiser ad. Chris?
That's right. It was kind of interesting. It's like GE and Budweiser teamed up to tell a story about how beer is made with electricity, which I thought was kind of clunky. It's like people know that electricity is involved in the making of beer. I don't think they need to be beaten over the head with that. It didn't really make sense with me.
And Budweiser had a huge pack of ads across its brands and really didn't strike much of a chord collectively and in the aggregate.
Not really. I mean, the way it was written where the GE folks show up in the bar and they're kind of celebrated as heroes. And this guy is like, so you guys make the beer? And the guy explains, no, we didn't make the beer. We made the electricity that was used in the making of the beer. That was a conversation that would never happen in real
ever.
Life. So it just felt
ever
odd.
Speaking of something else that might not ever happen in real life, Budweiser had a great chance to do a nostalgic montage of all these great potential beer moments, the 1980 hockey victory, a rock concert, impromptu bar meetings, and it was set over a really craptastic rap track. What was up with that, Peter?
Well, I think it was funny because it was a bit of a mashup. I think it had the music, the underscore of the music was a Cult track, the band The Cult from the 80s or maybe early 90s. So I think it was trying to be all things to all people, mixing a little hip-hop into it. I actually thought the montage was really well art-directed. It was an emotional spot for me. I thought it worked in a lot of ways, but I agree the track just felt kind of weird.
We had a first here on Central Standard, Craptastic, a KCUR first, and totally legit here on Central Standard. We've been recapping the Super Bowl ads with J. Anthony Snorgrass, of Associate Professor of Communications, Advertising, Branding, and Strategic Media at Avila University, Chris Rivschlager, Senior Art Director of VML, and the creator of the Fine Boulevard Chocolate Ale ad campaign locally. Peter Meyer is a writer and director and editor at T2 Films. Thank you very much for regaling us with what was craptastic and what was good for this year's Super Bowl.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And tune in tomorrow for another rock solid show with geologist Charles Spencer, plus recipe hound Beth Bader gets our mouth watering with sweets for your sweeties. I think that has something to do with Valentine's Day. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to date is next. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.